bored. I'm bored.
Is this episode boring you? We just started.
We're going to start the episode.
Guys,
right,
can I go outside and catch crickets? I'm bored.
No, we need you. We're going to do the episode.
Music.
Welcome to the New World Pictures podcast, where we're going to talk about every single movie released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
Can we go to the dance tonight?
And Erica.
I'm bored. I'm bored. My dad used to take me to the carnival when I was little.
Erica, we just started. This is like a carnival, but it's a podcast carnival.
And you can't be bored as we enter March Madness. Woo! That is where we are going to talk about all the sports movies released by New World Pictures. Let me just spoil a little bit here. This is going to be a one and done in terms of this theme.
What?
Because there is not a plethora of sports movies released by New World Pictures.
There weren't a plethora of war movies either, but we still managed to get a whole month out of it.
There's a plethora of war journalist movies. We saw all of them, I think. That's right. This is Erica's month. She's picked out March Madness.
Hi, guys. You know me. I'm the sporty one in the podcast. just a regular old athletic.
And we are starting off with a bang. With
Don't you mean with a goal,
with
Ryan?
We're starting off with some stink.
Ooh.
And
oh.
We're going to talk about 1979's The Prize Fighter. That doesn't sound right.
Sorry, guys.
That doesn't sound like the trailer.
That's what I want to be watching. Anyway, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner presenting Tim Conway and Don Moss. The story of two men and their climb to the championship.
You think you ought to get up first?
You just shut up.
Left. In the 30s, these men won the respect of the boxing world.
That was really stink.
Shake, the trainer, had all the surprise punches.
This is a surprise.
Baggs was his experienced fighter.
He's on here,
fight! He had the desire, concentration, and direct aim. It took rigid conditioning. Baggs was proud to stand on his own two feet. Could they avoid loose women who followed the fight game?
Oh, get away from me, you little slimy, mole-faced degenerate. Before I step on your creepy body and squash you with the rest of the slugs around this dump.
Oh, would you like to dance?
Can they win for the kid who built a dream around them?
You think you can take the butcher?
Bluebird Blue?
One person stood in their way, the butcher.
It's the clown that creased my perfect face.
Can Baggs take the champ?
Just gonna leave that ring on a stretcher.
Follow these punching pals to the title bout.
What murder out there?
What's he doing in here?
You're in the wrong corner.
They don't have signs.
Tim Conway, Don Knotts. Starring in The Prize Fighter, a knockout comedy.
So together, let's begin it, and I will be there with you.
That's right, 1979's The Prize Fighter, brought to you by the CBL, the newly formed Carnival Boxing League, featuring boxers like Jerry, your garbage man, and Barbara, the lady you work with in the office, and also an actual fighter. That's right, real fighters and likely your neighbors. Don't miss all the action. Sign up today.
Just really quick, was that trailer from, was that on vinyl?
I know.
So crackly.
It had a lot of crackling.
Yeah. It's so crackly. Cleaned that vinyl before I know. They recorded it. Jeez.
God, wipe it down, guys. A little spray, a little wipe. Come on now. This was directed by Michael Preece. He's a TV director who worked on such shows like The Streets of San Francisco and The Bionic Woman, but this would not launch him into features. He basically does this. He's working on, what's the TV show he's working on?
The Incredible Hulk?
No, it's Barnaby Jones. He's working on Barnaby Jones and he does
same
this.
Same thing. Close.
Yeah.
I get points.
So he does this movie and then he just goes right back into TV. And he's directing a wide variety of shows like T.J. Hooker, Falcon Crest, 10 episodes of Hunter.
Mm. Yeah, it's a great show.
Saturday nights belong to Hunter right here. And 70 episodes of Walker, Texas Ranger.
70? That's like a drop 70. In the bucket for Walker, Texas Ranger.
Right.
They're like 700
right.
episodes?
Right. I don't know. Dude, did you even direct Texas Walker,
Texas
Ranger, bro? Do you
even Walker, Texas Ranger, bro? 70 episodes. Please.
70?
My mom did Come 70 on, episodes, dude. Bro.
She's not even a director. She's an insurance adjuster. She came in there and did 400 episodes, bro. Yeah.
For free, bro. For free. Uncredited,
this
bro.
Is a joke.
She's just a fucking Walker fanatic.
Just for shits. She just wanted to prove that she could.
Just fuck around.
God. You don't dare, bro. So, whatever.
He did reteam with Tim Conway, though, on the short-lived 1983 series Ace Crawford, Private Eye. This... Does.
Sounds hilarious.
Yeah, sounds funny. Lasted only a few episodes. It really went well. This does star Tim Conway, top billing, and second billing, Don Knotts. And this is the fourth movie of these two guys teaming up. They would do one more, and that's a movie we'll talk about later called Private Eyes, which was also released by New World Pictures. But this is their fourth one. They had previously done three successful comedies for Walt Disney Pictures, The Apple Dumpling Gang, Gus, and The Apple Dumpling Gang Rides Again, which was released in the summer of 1979. Not at the end of this is released at the end of 1979. Just coming off of one of their third pairing, and now this is their fourth. Mm. This is what Knotts said about working with Tim Conway that he said to the Archive of American Television. He said, Tim's a funny guy. He's a great comedian. Everybody knows Tim Conway is a wonderful comedian. I had to change my style for Tim because Tim's the real crazy one. Where Andy pulled back for me, I had to pull back for Tim because he was the guy doing the really crazy stuff. So I was still being a comedian, but in a different way, because I had to play straight for Tim.
Yeah.
Which I have to agree with.
Yes, for sure.
I think we were just saying off mic.
Listen to our Patreon. You can hear us talk about this.
We don't have a Patreon. But I don't know.
This is how I find out we don't have a Patreon?
Sorry.
I've been doing this for free?
What?
All our behind the scenes are on OnlyFans. So
That's right. That's where we have to start.
What a sad OnlyFans.
That's where we have to start.
Oh, boy.
Does not have many subscribers, I'm sorry to say.
And I go full Don Knotts on the OnlyFans. I pull back, you
right,
know?
Right.
I hold back.
Right,
I go,
right.
I go straight woman, you know?
Right. No nope. singing
People
on OnlyFans.
People usually pull back on OnlyFans.
Nope, fully serious. I just do monologues.
Catch
I
mean, crickets.
From books.
I'm also going to be topless in that episode. Just Ryan
really
and I topless.
I really think that would be hilarious if we didn't start it and they were just like shitty, like recorded bits of us that we didn't use for episodes.
But the only thing that was is that Mark is shirtless.
I'm shirtless. It's the only thing.
That's the skin quotient. That's the titty count. Mark provides the titty count.
That would be amazing. Anyway, I think it's true. We were saying off mic that, you know, Don Knotts is like, he's a certain kind of flavor in terms of comedy. And that may not always be your cup of tea. It wasn't really mine. I did watch Andy Griffith's show growing up on reruns. I'm not that old. Calm down, everyone. But it was not always, he was not always hilarious to me. I didn't always find him funny because he's very broad. And so is Tim Conway to a degree. But I actually kind of prefer him doing this kind of style where he's trying to be more of the straight man. He still has his funny moments, but he's trying to be more of a straight man.
I think his bits are funnier in this movie. Because he is trying to be the straight man. So when he's put into precarious situations, he's not over the top hamming it up. He's trying
right.
to be sort of serious about it,
right.
which actually makes him funnier. Like the right. scene when they're when he's trying to take a picture with Timmy and with Bags, and they put the glove up and block his face, and then the glove comes down. Instead of him giving this outrageous reaction to him not getting in the picture. He just sort of gives like a, okay, whatever. And I thought he should have done more of that because it was actually subtle and funnier.
Because if it was Three's Company, he would have done something like much bigger.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
It weirded me out. I'm going to be honest. I didn't love him as a straight man.
Oh.
I thought you were going to say that that Three's Company weirded you out.
No, I love Three's Company. What are you talking about? Okay. No, I think it's great. So because that's what I'm used to, I didn't like this. This was a flavor of Don Knotts.
This is different. Enjoy. I don't like it. Yeah. I don't accept.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I was like, I want caramel Don Knotts. I don't like vanilla. It's gross. It's yucky. It's flavorless.
I prefer butterscotch Don Knotts. Yeah. Don Knotts was sort of the magic shell of comedy. And in this movie, he's just like a really nice hot fudge.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't like that he had to hold back. I didn't like that. So unpopular opinion.
Okay. Okay. Know. Interesting.
I didn't like it. I didn't care for it.
Okay. Well, here's where you can watch The Prize Fighter, and that is good luck. You have to rent this. It's not streaming anywhere. There is a DVD and it's out of print, and I didn't buy it because it was too much and there's nothing on
it. Wait, hold on. What?
I know. I'm slipping. I'm getting older, guys.
Jeez. I'm impressed with your restraint.
Thank you.
Don't
support
good.
This. It will take only a minimal amount of support for him to be like, you know what? Mark was right. I'm going to buy it. He's right. I should buy this. Don't. Well, you know what? Don't ask him to hold back.
You just want to see that DVD loading screen for The Prize Fighter and just know, were they playing? Oh, I want to know.
God. Oh, God. What
no
is
song.
It?
It's probably silent because they had to hold back. The Prize Fighter, right? My review, they held back.
It's just shots of Don Knotts doing the Andy Griffith Show, so you can really see him going crazy.
And Tim Conway, just excerpts of him doing Dorf, but which doesn't match the timeline at all for this movie.
No, it doesn't. Nope. Dorf is after this, but yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Like, that's what you remember. But that's where you can see it. But now it's time for us to talk about what this movie is about. Mark. What is The Prize Fighter about?
Two down-on-their-luck grown men in their 40s spend an uncomfortable amount of time with a preteen boy.
Preteen? I might go a little bit below preteen. Like, he's like 10 or 11.
This right. Preteen covers everything from under teen, Ryan.
We should call that something different. It deserves its own name.
Like an adolescent? Is it that older? Wouldn't it just be a boy then? Okay, with a boy. But I think the joke works better if I say preteen than just boy.
It's called, it's just post-toddler.
Post-toddler, pre-pubes, boy.
Yep. Post-toddler, preteen.
He might have had a pube or two, but it was still early.
Wow.
That sounds like wishful thinking on your part.
No!
Oh, no. Erica, what's this movie about?
This movie's about how hard it is to win a good prize at a carnival.
That is true.
Is really?
Or hard. Is it about how easy it is? Because they win twice.
I'm sorry. I thought you asked me what it was about.
Okay.
I answered.
I'm also going to add that if you want to up your weight for the weight guessing game, Straw isn't going to do a whole lot, or hay is not going to do a whole lot to add weight. It's a fairly light compound. Just throwing that out there.
Somebody crunching numbers on hay.
Also, it's coming out of his jacket, so it's very visible. So the guy who's guessing has to be a complete moron to not see what's happening here.
I think in that scene, the guesser was like, oh, you think you can fool me? Fine. I'm going to trick you, and I'm going to make you take this hand puppet no one wants.
Right. Well, he did trick him into taking the...
Carnies are
he
vengeful.
He did take him into taking the puppet. Because
Carnies are vengeful.
He wanted to keep the
remember
candy.
Remember Thinner?
Mm-hmm.
Carnies are vengeful.
Mm-hmm.
Remember it? Not remember it. Do you remember it?
Remember it? Come on now, everyone.
Remember Thinner.
If you haven't seen Thinner, we'll wait.
It's Mark's favorite.
We'll wait. We'll be here.
Pause,
come on back.
You'll watch it and come back. And you'll be,
this is going
to
be
we'll come back and be like, well, I watch it. I'm not sure it's adding much more contextual value to the show.
Oh, it is.
It is. They come back and they're just going to say, Erica, you're right. Can we continue the episode now?
Yeah, Carnies are vengeful.
Okay, well, now I'm remembering that I just watched it. Well, what I thought this movie is about, you know what? I think this is going to surprise you guys, but did you know that Eastern bluebirds aren't always blue. Granted, they generally have some blue on them at any stage, but a juvenile bluebird is gray with white spots with only a bit of blue on its wings.
Did you just crunch the numbers on bluebirds?
You scrunch birds?
I did. I crunched a bunch of them.
Wow.
Look at you go. All these years embracing birds.
But here's a Letterboxd synopsis. Oh, we're on Letterboxd, so give us a follow there if you can. Bags, quote unquote, the boxer, funny man Tim Conway.
Funny man.
And his manager, Shake, Don Knotts. Not a funny man, apparently.
Don Knotts is not described as a funny man.
Jesus. Not described as a funny man.
Also, is he really the manager?
Really good question.
Or are they just friends?
Well, he managed him when he was a boxer.
Yeah. I think they were work associates became friends.
Yeah. Because I remember now he had the perfect record of 20 losses. Right.
Yeah.
Remember. Okay. Now I remember.
Are quite a pair. One is a dim bulb and the other has a mean streak. Which one is which? I don't know.
Who has a mean streak?
I don't know which one has
the gangster
mean streak.
Does, but he's not the manager. Yeah, nor Don Knotts.
Don Knotts? Does he? I don't see him having a mean streak. I don't know. I don't think the person who wrote this actually watched the movie. That's my guess. They just thought, well, Don Knotts is probably angry and Tim Conway's playing kind of a dummy. That's what I feel like they...
Do you think that the same guy same person that wrote this also wrote the synopsis for Thinner? What's the synopsis for Thinner? Can we get into that? Can we do some real-time research on that? Research.
And just note, everybody, when we say can we do some real-time research, we mean Ryan. So go ahead, Ryan. Do some real-time research for us.
An obese lawyer finds himself growing, quote-unquote, thinner.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Funny man Tim Conway. Wait, what? Not right. It's Robert John Burke. When an old gypsy man places a hex on him.
It's not a gypsy man, is it?
It's a not a man. It's a woman. It's a woman.
Gypsy man is what they say.
No. No. This was, now we know this was the same writer.
Same guy.
Didn't watch Thinner either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now the lawyer must call upon his friends and organize crime to help him persuade the gypsy to lift the curse. Time is running out for the desperate lawyer as he draws closer to his own death and grows even thinner.
The synopsis is between these two movies is not too dissimilar. There is organized crime. Tim Conway is getting thinner by the fact that he's working out.
There's no gypsy curse, though.
Isn't there?
I mean, I feel like they have, they were cursed prior to us seeing them in the film. Because they're certainly experiencing a lot of bad luck.
By that account, every movie potentially has a gypsy curse.
Yeah, that's true.
Think about it.
This is a new world through line. True. Everybody's gypsy cursed. True. Wow.
Prior to the movie beginning.
Even Breaker Morant, gypsy curse.
Gypsy curse. Morant definitely got gypsy cursed. He got cursed big time. Then he went off to war before he got to the movie. And then all that stuff happened. That gypsy. That's what the gypsy sounds like.
Gypsies are shapeshifters. And also shapeshifters.
Come on down and take a seat. I'm going to tell you your fortune. I'm a gypsy.
That's what they sound like. Let's finish this synopsis.
Nah.
Right. We're good. We've got enough.
That's all right.
We're all right.
Who cares?
Times are tough, and they must save their gym. No, it's not
their
gym.
No, it's not their gym. Times are tough. That part's correct.
That part's true. Well, it's the 1930s. That's just throwing a dart.
Yeah.
So they line up some money-making fights. They don't line it up. A gangster does. This person did not watch this movie. But when Bags and Shake discover that the bouts have been rigged, they end up with their backs to the wall and must fight back literally. That implies that Don Knotts did any fighting, which he doesn't. And they do find out that it's rigged, but that's right before the third round. So
that's approximately
mid-fight.
7 minutes before the end of the movie. And I don't think they fight back as much as Bags is suddenly inspired.
Correct.
Versus fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's getting his butt kicked and actually it's the kind of the information he needed.
Yeah.
This movie is interesting because boy, I wanted to like it.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Man,
I'm with you.
I was ready to like this movie.
And there's parts of it that are enjoyable. But this movie suffers from being a lot of movies in one. It's
yes.
a gangster movie. It's a slapstick comedy. It's a drama.
Yep.
And a musical? Question mark?
At a certain point. Which we will get to, yeah, the musical part in a second. But
it also explores the challenges of being a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Mm-hmm. It really
to
does.
To an aging parent.
That's right.
It does.
And to a young boy who possibly has a puberty. But this movie, you're right, Mark, because this is
I'm more uncomfortable with the boy than the aging mom that's in the home. That is definitely crossed the line. I know it's difficult to know when do you get extra help for a parent or a relative that has gone into some, you know, they're mentally incapable of taking care of themselves. But she is so far gone that she needed a full-time nurse or be in a home that could take care of her. This movie spends a lot of time exploring that and tries to be, I guess, somewhat funny. But at the same time, you can't help but ask yourself, this woman needs other help, right? Like, she needs to be taken care of, much like boy with two pubes needs to be taken care of.
Yes. We're not at things we hated, but
we should be.
That mom, oof. I cannot tell you, again, much like this movie, and I bring it up now because it's like, when she first sat down, and he's like, I love my mom, she's going through a rough stage, and then she starts throwing, like, celery at Tim Conway, I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. But as the bit goes on,
mm-hmm.
she starts making all this noise, and then she's jumping out of grandfather clocks,
mm-hmm.
and she's crawling underneath glass tables, and she's doing all the stuff she's doing, you're like, oh, I hate this. I really went quickly from like, oh, okay, that could be funny, to being like, oh, I don't like this. And then every time she came back, I was like, nope, I'm not a fan. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of this.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you.
She's played, by the way, the mom is played by she's the mom of the gangster. She's played by Mary Ellen O'Neill, who also appears in New World's Galaxy of Terror.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Hmm. But this movie is filled with lots of moments that you could have cut out.
Right. For sure.
And just to start in the beginning, just shows you something, because we start with this woman walking down the street, 1930s, and she eventually goes into a fight, a backdoor area where they're having a fight. And so you think that this woman is going to play in this movie a lot. She goes in and sees this fight. That's where we meet Tim Conway and Don Knotts. They're managing this boxer named Lefty. Or are they managing? There's two of them. What are they doing exactly? Is one of them, I don't know. Is Don Knotts the manager and the other guy's the...
Yeah, Don Knotts is the manager and Bags is just his friend that he brought along because they just hang out together all the time. Yeah. Constantly. That's all they do is hang with each other.
Lefty loses that fight and then they do not talk to him later. So I have no clue if they were ever on camera at the same time. Who knows? But this woman's watching this fight. She gets upset. She eventually gets upset that Don Knotts was trying to encourage Lefty to throw a right. So she punches him in the face. And then she doesn't come back till the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, was this woman... Did she have a storyline that we missed that they had to cut it out because they had so many storylines going that they were like, we can't possibly fit in this lady too, because that's what this movie feels like. There's too much and we need to snip out a little bit.
Right.
But they didn't. Like the scene where they guess the weight, which we were talking about,
mm-hmm.
that could have been cut. If they go to the carnival, go straight to the boxing match. The end result of guessing the weight is just the fact that he doesn't take the candy and he takes the little puppet.
Right.
And by the time he's done with the fight, the puppet loses its head. So that's not something that comes back. I thought that lady was going to be a part of the movie. She wasn't. The guy who's cleaning up the boxing ring, who says like, you guys stink. That stink. You try to tell Lefty to throw a right. You stink. That stinks. I thought he would come back. He's gone in the beginning.
Right.
That puppet. I was like, okay, we're going to do a lot of puppet bits. Nope, gone. Like nothing sticks around. It's a lot of extra excess stuff. Then we do meet Mike the mobster, who is the actor who plays Mike is an actor. His name is Robin Clark. Who is he doing an imitation of, Erica?
Who is Robin Clark doing an imitation of?
Uh-huh. As Mike the mobster. don't know. Mark, you have any guesses?
Robert De Niro in The Godfather?
Well, I guess you could say Robert De Niro. I would have said Marlon Brando, but...
Oh, I mean Marlon Brando. Sorry, that's what I meant. Sorry.
If you're going with Godfather Part 2, I mean, we're splitting hairs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I screwed
Well, Brian, I don't know because not everyone has seen The Godfather.
I mean, most people have seen The Godfather.
Well, there's a contingent that have not.
Yeah, and he's doing a Godfather bit. That's what he's doing his voice as.
Well, it was hilarious.
I mean, it's not a direct imitation of Marlon Brando, but he's doing a certain Godfather affectation.
That's what it is that whole time? Throughout all three movies? That breathy talk? Wow, I can't get on board with this.
If you're watching the Godfather movies for a trio of Marlon Brando, you might be a bit surprised.
I don't know if I can watch three movies of someone being like, ooh, woo, 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 woo. Ooh, whoa, whoa.
Well, good news. You don't have to deal with it for three movies.
Spoiler alert.
Going confidently. You are going to be fine.
It's fine. I'll probably never watch it.
You won't. I have them. You're not probably going to watch
them. Just because you have them doesn't mean I'm going to watch them.
Okay, Erica, just really quick. How many Resident Evils have you seen?
All of them.
All of the Resident Evils.
How many Hellraisers have I seen, Mark? All of them.
I thought you were going to say, but the Resident Evils are good, Mark.
Yeah. Nobody does that kind of talk in the Resident Evils.
When people talk about top 10 movies ever made, they're always like, I don't know, Citizen Kane, then Resident Evil 2.
You're
and
like,
then...
oh, you know the best sequel ever made? Resident Evil 5?
Hellraiser Hellworld?
I've seen almost all of the Fast and Furiouses.
They're like, no, I was gonna say Godfather 2, like, but actually now that you brought that up, I actually am gonna go with what you said. So forget Godfather 2.
You know what I just realized just this week? Jaws the Revenge is a Christmas movie.
Oh, that's wonderful news. I love Jaws the Revenge.
when Jaws follows her to the Bahamas.
Oh,
it's so good. It's so good. I remember that I'm going to murder the quote, so I won't bother. But Michael Caine basically has a quote that people should look up, where he basically talks about the fact that he did that just to like have like a summer house. He did that.
I've seen a lot of the Michael Caines, but is Michael Caine in The Godfather?
He is not.
No, he's not.
Well, then it's probably not for me.
That's true. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not.
How big of a summer house does Jaws the Revenge get you?
It gave him a very nice one, apparently.
Wow.
Speaking of Mike, though, the gangster, he's looking to buy a property, but he can't get old man Morgan to sell, even though he owns boxers at a carnival.
What kind of gangsters, like, just, like, into properties? Is he really? That's why I was like, is he really a gangster? He sounds
legit.
Like he's just a guy
legit.
Who's just, into properties. Is that right. What the Godfather's into, properties?
I mean, they do own properties, sure. But
remember, he's in the glue business.
So he says, that's his front. That's his
well,
front.
I'm just saying that like adhesives and the market size for adhesives and sealants was estimated to be about $71 billion in 2023.
Wow. What was it in the 1930s?
I don't know, but I feel like, it's a percentage thereof.
Do you even crunch that, bro?
Do you even crunch, bro?
Do you even crunch glue, bro?
Well, just to put it in perspective, conversely, the market size measured by revenue for boxing gyms and clubs was about $1 billion in 2023. $71 billion versus $1 billion. So it feels like you're taking a big step down.
Mm-hmm. Money, put your money in glue. I always say that. This episode brought to you by Gangster Glue.
Get yourself out of a sticky situation. Hey, yo.
That's probably something they say in The Godfather, right? Hey, yo.
I think it's a little more Rocky than The Godfather.
I have seen the Rockies.
You're still staying in the same world.
Oh, I could have used about 1,000% more Rocky in the prize fighter. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, there was some Rocky bits, including the scene where he tries to get Tim Conway, Don Knotts, that is, tries to get Tim Conway to swallow a glass full of raw eggs.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a funny little scene. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously, because this movie is made in the wake of Rocky. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of boxing movies that came out after Rocky, and Rocky, of course, won Academy Awards, and so everybody's sort of doing those kinds of bits, and this movie is no exception.
I was just going to say the compound annual growth expected for adhesives and sealants is expected to grow at 6% between 2024 and 2030. So I'm just saying, if you're looking for a smart investment, go with glue. Also, the number one manufacturer of glue is 3M. So you know you're going with a major manufacturer, top 500 stock when you are investing.
I'm bored. I'm bored.
And the point of this story is...
Oh, God.
People tune into this podcast to get investing tips. We know this.
We always pepper in some investments.
Everybody knows. I love to get in there, talk about movies, and they also tell me what to invest in.
Yeah.
And they always say invest in glue. It's the same tip, really.
It's always the same.
Time and time again, it's always glue. But still, I like to tune in because they really do talk about investments as well as
me. Thank you, New World Pictures Podcast. Telling me what to invest in.
I put
all my money in glue. It got a little sticky there for a bit, but then, as it usually does, but don't worry, the riches all stuck together.
It was a real knockout in my portfolio.
Oh,
well, knockout, what are you talking about? Did you invest in boxing gyms? That's a mistake.
Incidentally, I'm not a certified financial planner.
No one knows that, and no one will listen to that. They tune into this for investment advice, and that's it. That's all they tune in for. They skip around and go, when are they going to get to those investment tips? Mm-hmm. Mike is looking to buy a property, so he has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a plan. Here's his plan.
You've got a guy who can take the title from the butcher.
I got somebody who can't take the title from the butcher. Look at it like this. If a guy can take Irish, the Grater, and Jake Foley, you wouldn't think he'd have much trouble with the butcher, now would you? Unless, of course, those fights were fixed. If a guy knew those fights were fixed going in, he could pick up some pretty big bets on the championship fight, right? Maybe even a piece of property.
Like Pop Morgan's gym.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's going to set up a series of fights for Tim Conway that he will fix to then trick Pop Morgan into betting on Tim Conway with his gym so he can get... There's got to be a simpler way.
So the way he does this is he gives Pops $10,000 and says, I'll pay you $10,000 if this happens. And he's going to get the gym if it doesn't happen. Like, you'll win 10 grand or I get the gym. And that $10,000 could help pay for Timmy's whole life, because $10,000 obviously in 1930s was worth a lot more. But couldn't he have just come in and said...
Yeah, 10 grand now is just like, it's like bullshit money.
Well, I'm just... it's worth a lot more is what I'm saying, Ryan. Right. I'm just saying... Couldn't he have just come in and said, I'll buy your gym for $100,000? And I think Pops would have been like, shit, yeah, here are your gloves. Let me show you the tour. Here's the bathroom. It's a wonderful bathroom. We have this great setup. Give me the $100,000 and I'll leave tomorrow. Seems just like a long way to go.
Well, here's the thing, and this is why this movie has so much extra stuff in it. And I understand that, like, we get, when we have him fight, do these fights, we get more comedic opportunities. So I'm not particularly advocating against having these fights, but the plan, he has Doyle call in, the guy he meets at the cemetery early on. He calls in and is like, hey, you owe us all this back money, these back taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that and then dangle $10,000 in front of him. Boom. He's going to take the bet. Like, you don't need all this, which is really just me saying, get rid of that scene where they call him to put pressure on him to get to pay for the gym because he's got money. We don't need that scene. We don't need it. We already are into the whole point of this movie is for us to set up these fake fights so we can watch Tim Conway, you know, dance around the ring like a goon. That's the whole point. That's the whole payoff of this movie. You don't need all that extra stuff.
I don't mean to step on Ryan's research, but
it feels like I'm being replaced.
This movie was written over a weekend. And these are the kind of mistakes that you make when you write a movie in 3 days.
Yeah.
It's and not, obviously not no one proofed idea. It and went, I'm not sure about this plot point.
Right. To be fair to Tim Conway, it's not the first movie he had written. But yes, 3 days, give yourself a little bit more time.
Give yourself a little time.
Give yourself some time.
I don't know. We record these podcasts in one sitting. How hard can it be? You know, record a podcast, write an entire movie script. I don't know. I think he's going
investment. We give investment advice. He's never
that's
put
true.
Investment advice.
That's true.
We do that's offer very
investment
true.
Investment advice. That's fair.
This
fair,
is a multi-tiered sure. podcast. We have many. We have our feet in a lot of pies, guys.
Oh,
bring that back. You guys didn't even see that coming.
No.
Didn't even. I've waited so long to bring that back. You didn't even see it coming. Didn't even see it coming.
I didn't see it coming the first time. So.
Oh my God. No, you didn't. No one saw it.
No
coming.
One.
Not even me. Yeah. I didn't even see it coming the first time.
That's true.
I said that.
That's true.
So they do fix a fight for Tim Conway. They're helping Pop's grandson with his bully problem. They also make sure, Pop, can you manage us? We need you to do it. And he agrees. All of a sudden, we get a song.
We get a song.
Yeah, there is.
Man, against all odds, am I right that Tim Conway won that fight?
I'm in.
Bugs is going to be the champ.
When the sky was looking gloomy.
Now, people that haven't seen this movie, you can hear this song and go, oh, okay.
Gone are those days.
But then they start mouthing the lyrics like they're
yes.
singing it.
And I will be there when you need me. I will be there till the end.
How this turns into a musical for one number.
One number.
And then they proceed to find a stuffed dummy in the trash can.
In the trash, right.
I have never, and I've done my fair share of dumpster diving in my day.
Never once
have I found a dummy in a trash can.
Yeah, just on the street. And for some reason, they're dancing in front of it and the cops stop and look at them. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's legal. Pulling a dummy out of the trash. And dancing around on the street corner.
Well, they don't start the dancing with the dummy till the cop looks at them. And then they think, oh, we'll just dance with the dummy. And the cop will be like, oh, this is fine.
But there's nothing wrong with having to pull a dummy out of the trash. You've not committed a crime. I don't even think in 1930s.
You've only lessened the load at the landfill. That's all you've accomplished.
I guess they're just stopping to go, I guess this guy is taking a dummy somewhere. I'm curious where he's going with it.
Yeah.
By the way, all this happens, and we've set the stage for Pop to be the manager and help him, Tim Conway box, or really be the corner man, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much the manager, that's still Don Knotts. We're an hour into this movie.
An hour in. A thick hour.
You're like, wow, okay. And we got another 40 minutes. The other 40 minutes is this montage,
mm-hmm.
which we're like, training montage, cool, but it's kind of training. And then it's another fixed fight and more training and a fixed fight
yep.
until we lead up to the final fight.
Yeah, this movie in the first 15 minutes establishes that Bags is going to fight and that there's going to be a fixed fight.
Yeah.
We don't get the first fight until an hour into the movie.
Well, we're a little bit before. We get the first fixed fight before Pop agrees. But that's like at least at 45 minutes. 45, 50, I mean.
But the plot is like he's gonna
right.
Be in these fixed fights, and that's how they're going to get the boxing gym. That's in like the first 15 minutes. Then he does one fixed fight, and then we don't get the fight. We don't see the plot progress. Until an hour in.
Until about an hour in. It's a lot. We've also spent a lot of time with the butcher, the guy who plays the butcher, who's the other fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And through a series of comedic hijinks, they injure his face, which he's very precious about. And so he wants to get them. And so we see him training. We see him. There's no reason for us to get invested in the butcher at all. There's no need for this character.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's outside of
him being the champion that they have to beat.
The kid is getting bullied. They have a scene where they say, well, you just have to fight him. They see him getting bullied in an alleyway. They're like, you just have to punch him. He finally does. He punches the kid. The kid falls down and then goes on. And then we see a scene almost immediately afterwards where Tim Conway is teaching him how to punch. I'm like, why do we need both of these scenes?
Pick one.
Right.
We don't
right.
need them both. Mm-hmm. We already had one. Which one yeah. is it? I mean, just pick
but
one.
But the second scene is establishing that Tim Conway's character is going to train this kid how to be a fighter.
Right. Right.
Which,
but they did it already because they told him like to punch the bully and he did.
Because
right.
he's like, okay, now I'm going to show you how to be a boxer. But that right. never then that matures goes nowhere. Into anything. Right. It's right, just, right. I'm going to have this one little cute scene, which it is kind of a cute scene, and then it goes nowhere.
The kid and then it goes nowhere else.
Fights that's or boxes it. Again.
Right.
Even though his dad was a boxer, and you had an opportunity to, to re-enter, like, he's going to become the next big boxer, and Tim Conway's character is going to help him get there. That could have been a nice subplot. Nope, we don't need to.
That's, nope, no need to another, go there. That's, nope, another movie altogether. Which may... Which made
that's
me think
Rocky IV.
Well, isn't it though? Isn't aren't they then basically stealing from The Champ?
You're right. No, they are.
Though
so
that
they
movie
are.
Comes out also in 1979, right? So
except The Champ was Ricky Schroeder's dad, and Ricky right, Schroeder
John
was
Voight.
Just yeah, John Voight. But Ricky Schroeder was just rooting for his dad.
Ricky Schroeder's dad is John Voight in real life?
No. Just in the movie The Champ. No.
I was well, like, then I was about to be like, Ricky Schroeder and Angelina Jolie are brother and sister?
Oh, what a beautiful world that would be.
Oh, man.
Wild, crazy world that would be.
Just to pause on that for a second, I did watch
on
The
Champ. Ramifications of them being...
No, I did watch The Champ a lot as a kid and thought it was
on
a
TV
fantastic
a ton.
Movie.
Oh, I loved yes. it. I loved that
loved
movie.
That movie.
Oh, my God.
I've clearly not seen it.
Little Ricky Schroeder, just so much emotion there at the end. Oh, man, it gets you. By the way, going back to that clip I shared with the where he goes through Mike goes through his plan.
Mm-hmm.
I started editing some of it and then I stopped just so you could hear those pauses. Like, those pauses are long. And granted, you're listening instead of watching it, whereas in a movie, you maybe don't feel the pauses as long. But I was just listening back going, God, such long pauses. It's like, that's what this movie needs. Get to it. Get to it.
That's why there's three Godfathers, all those pauses. Makes the movie longer.
Cut all those pauses, you got one movie.
Yeah. Probably
if they cut those pauses out of The Godfather, it'd be like a tight... Hour 24 minutes.
That's yeah. it. That's
it. Seems
it.
Like it's just
too long. Super easy. In and out.
Super easy.
I mean, I've never seen it. And I'm just speculating, but it seems a bit long.
Well, I will say that this there are a lot of pauses, but this movie isn't very long. And by the time you get to the fight, through some strange kismet of this movie, I was totally in. I was totally excited to watch that final fight. And I really? Don't know
I wasn't,
why.
Which leads me to our next segment, which is things we love, ding, 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 and things we hate.
This is why The Godfather was so long.
All right, let's talk about the things we love and the things we hate about The Prize Fighter. Mark, what's something that you love?
I really liked Don Knotts in this. I thought he was more subtle than I was expecting him to be. He's just so always over the top. Like, we've already covered how his character is typically, like, just too much. And I found him so much more entertaining being restrained. I thought his comedic talent, I think, when you look at his whole career, I think it was wasted that he was always trying to be overly hammy, because I think he's really good at kind of being the straight man. He's good at that.
He did do a lot of, I mean, it made his career being over the top.
Yeah. I understand, but I think he needed more opportunities to be the straight man. I mean, much in the way that Adam Sandler has managed to create, kind of carved out a pretty nice career in his dramatic.
Oh my God, he went full Adam Sandler on us.
What do you think of Don Knotts?
He's going to tell me he hated Little Nicky. Great. Great. This is how I find out Mark hates Little Nicky. Great.
Oh God.
Great.
Do you love Little Nicky? I mean, this is real talk here.
I don't hate
Save
it.
Save it for the Patreon.
Wow.
Save it for the
Wow.
Patreon.
That sounds
for the OnlyFans. Hold on, let me take this off.
That sounds like a Convince Me episode in the waiting. Little Nicky there.
Oh.
Mark, what did you think of Don Knotts' vocal performance in Pinocchio and the Emperor of the Night, where he played G. Willikers? Was that over the top, or was that the right?
Over the right? The top.
Okay. Just curious. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he does have an illustrious.
There's a reason why that's career. In my bottom five.
Was it, I'm not but putting was it that the Don squarely, Knotts of it?
I'm not putting that squarely on Don Knotts, but I'm saying okay. the entire ensemble pushed that to the bottom.
Mm, mm. Okay. Erica, what's something that you loved?
I loved the song. It was so ridiculous.
It is.
And it's yeah. just what I needed at that point to yeah. really bring me back in. I loved the song. And I was like, did they sing the song? Is it them?
Yeah.
That's them singing it?
It is. I believe it is.
God,
it is.
Yes. Yeah. It sounded like it was them, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I believe it's them. The and the song is Till the End, and it's written by Peter Matz. I believe he did some music for the Carol Burnett Show. Which Tim Conway was in. And so I think that's how that all comes about. I try to look up, though, why they suddenly threw this song in. It feels like they actually play the instrumental version of the song in the opening when the woman's walking down the street and at the end credits.
Oh,
and so it seems like a part of the movie. And yet I'm like, why? It comes out of left field. You're like, why is there suddenly a song that they're singing?
Huh.
So, yes, I love the song, too, to be honest. Not at first, but as I went forward, I realized I was humming it because I couldn't get it out of my head. But I'm going to go another way in that I don't know if I loved. I didn't have a lot of things in this movie that I loved. And I realized we're not honestly saying things you love. We are.
I am.
Most of the time.
I am. I don't know. I don't most lie on this episode.
You think I lie at things we loved?
No, I meant, well.
Go back to Cries and Whispers. Review the things I loved.
I will go back to Whispers and Cries. That's where I will go. I didn't love Tim Conway, but I liked him in this. I liked Tim Conway in this. There's some good stuff in this. I like what he can get away with. He is
yes.
very big and yet contained at the same time. It's
yes.
really unique.
Yep.
That said, did I laugh out loud at all the stuff that he did in this movie? I did not. But I didn't laugh out loud at this movie, I don't think ever. But this is a movie about a time period. It's at a place and time
yep.
where,
yep.
you know. And so for me, this is not my style of comedy, but I did like Tim
Conway. It's no Night Patrol.
I know. That,
so few things are.
I know.
What was our financial advice in Night Patrol? I'll have to go back and listen. What did we say? Or Breaker Morant. What did we say? Horses probably is a good, it's not a, you know. Night Patrol.
Yeah, I don't, Night
Patrol,
I mean,
I think it was don't quit your day job. What?
Yes. Also, I think it was, you know, sushi restaurants. We need to get more sushi restaurants. Yeah. What a lot of that movie was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
We need more sushi restaurants. Mm-hmm. Let's switch to things we hated about this movie, The Prize Fighter. Mark, let's start with you.
I hated the fucking musical montage. I fucking hated it.
Yes.
You know
yes.
I don't like musicals, and suddenly they start singing for no reason. There was no, there was nothing leading up to, we're going to have a musical number in the middle
of
this movie.
There was nothing
and
for that. Nope.
They never went back to it. I mean, I would almost give that song and that moment more credit if this suddenly became a musical, but it isn't. So why they're singing?
Yeah, right.
I just was like, I don't, what are you doing in this movie that we need? You have so many extraneous plot points that you needed a filler song in the middle of it. That makes no sense.
That's why I loved it though, because it's like, I mean, at that point, we're literally almost an hour in. It's like, sure, let's have a song.
Oh, you were saying earlier only things that you liked. So what a change of tune you've had. That now suddenly you love it.
I was just awkwardly and not very well setting up the fact that I didn't love Tim Conway in this, but I did like him in this.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
But I thought the musical number is kind of like, well, shit. I mean, at this point, yeah, let's have the kitchen sink too, right?
Why not?
But not Mark's thoughts. What are your thoughts, Erica, on things you hated?
Also, if I loved or hated this movie, I felt like it could have been funnier. It
could
have had more fights.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But if I had to say one thing that I really just hated, when I think back, I'm like, it was just cringe and it went on too long and it was not a funny running gag. It was the mom. It was Mike's mom. Oh,
1,000%.
I did not care for that. I also didn't care for Mike's physical abuse of his girlfriend.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, yeah. Very uncomfortable.
No. Unnecessary. That's
not even a joke, because they react to it in a way of like, oh, even, you know, Don Knotts and Tim Conway are like, that's not good.
That's not good. Yeah.
So it's not a joke. And I guess it makes Mike a bad guy, but we know he's a bad guy from like the get.
And was the joke, I love my mom, but I'm going to slap my girlfriend? Like, yeah, that's not a funny joke.
Yeah, it's not.
That's not funny.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that sucked.
I hated that. I hated that.
Yeah. And the mom. I already mentioned I hated the mom. But
yeah.
Mark, do you want to go back and change yours to mom or?
I'm going to stick with, you know what? You know what I hated? I am going to change it. You can take the same movie and make it funny. It's called Digstown.
Oh,
watch that movie, because that's a good movie.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same movie. And there's a lot of fights.
Yeah.
And it's actually well done.
Yeah.
And so I think I hated that this wasn't Digstown.
Yeah, that's true. All right, good call. Yeah. Let's move to our favorite scene. Mark, what was your favorite scene? And not from Digstown, but from The Prize Fighter.
Fair enough. I have a couple, which is weird for a movie that overall I think I didn't really like. I did like when Bags gives Timmy a melted chocolate bar and then proceeds to wipe the chocolate all over his face.
That's mine.
That's mine.
That's mine. The chocolate scene? Because he waits so
funny.
He waits so long.
He waits so
because
long.
He gives
you
the candy bar away.
You forgot about the chocolate
and
bar.
You forgot about the chocolate. And then when he gets emotional, he starts wiping the chocolate on his face. And you've forgotten that he had the chocolate bar in the beginning of the scene. And it was kind of an extraneous piece of information. Right. I totally agree.
And I thought that was really funny. And the fact that he just played it straight. I didn't even notice.
He just kept wiping more chocolate on his face. I mean, I think he could have even wiped more chocolate on his face.
Yes,
I'm not going to lie.
Totally.
But I mean, but yeah.
Yeah, that was funny.
I agree. What's your other scene?
I did like the making fun of Rocky when they were trying to drink the raw eggs. And then
they just scramble them eventually.
Don Knotts
does
a really good job of sniffing, just like Sylvester Stallone did in that scene. He's going over the top of it. But the both of them not wanting to actually drink the eggs and trying to like give it to the other and say, you drink it first. And him putting the glass up to his lips and this is all one shot. So they could have done a cutaway where he drank it and it could have been something else.
Sure.
Neither of them wanted to do it. And then they ultimately just scramble it. I thought that was a classic Don Knotts, Tim Conway moment.
Yeah.
And I thought that was funny.
Yeah. When they do nail the kind of style of comedy they do, I think it's those two moments. And those are, you're like, all right, that's. I mean, I'm not sitting there going, oh, shit.
No, I did not laugh out loud at any of those.
No, but
I'm
like,
thought,
oh,
no,
sure.
That's funny.
That's funny.
Good.
Sure. Good stuff. Erica, your favorite scene?
I don't think I have a favorite scene from this movie, but I
But you have something you loved?
Wait, you had a favorite scene from Last Plane Out, but you don't have a favorite for this one?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yep.
Wow.
Mia Moore.
Yeah,
wow.
Mia Moore's. Yeah, Mia Moore's.
How?
I didn't have a favorite scene. But I had some favorite moments. And one of my favorite moments was when they are invited, when Mike invites them over.
I see what you did.
He invites them over to the dinner. And the mom is going nuts and she's like stuffed.
Gay Rico Mia Moore.
She's stuffed, you know, celery in his ear. He's got a pee in his nose. And he just Tim Conway turns to Don Knotts and he goes, you want to sit here? Like, or he says, like, you want to trade?
Because the mom is like
because
biting
she's
his pant
relentless,
leg and,
like mercilessly annoying him. And he's just like, did you want to trade seats? Like,
she was an old soul.
Yeah. An old soul. Indeed.
So there
pant
are
leg
moments
and mouth.
Like that I thought were very funny.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
When it was.
Mm-hmm.
I also, I guess it might be a scene. I guess it qualifies as a scene is when they are leaving the very first fight that we see with Lefty when they're leaving Lefty's fight. And the guy who's kind of closing up is like, that stunk. That stank.
Yes.
This
yeah.
stinks. You stink.
Yeah.
And that was. Because again, you're like, oh, this guy's coming back. Nope.
I thought the same thing. I was like, that's one. Oh, this guy's kind of funny. That concept's funny. I hope that comes back. And also, that has another one of those same kind of lines you were talking about, Mark, where Don Knotts goes, are you going to have an opinion about this or are you going to stay in the middle of the road? where he kind of like, which is a very subtle, funny line that he's not normally associated with Don Knotts.
Yeah.
But I thought, oh, this guy's going to come back and always talk about that stinks. You guys stink. Mm-hmm. And nope, it's just the opening moment. And then we never get back to it. I was like, what? I agree. All right. Moments instead of scenes. You're going to like instead of love, and you're going to have moments instead of scenes. We're learning new things. We're really changing this podcast up.
We are.
You know? And investment advice. Final questions. Here are the final questions for the prize fighter. Have you ever taken a date to a carnival?
Does a fair count? Like, what's the dividing line between a carnival and a fair? Not to answer your question with a question.
Carnivals are pop-ups. They're like, boop, boop, gone, town, town, town. Fairs have, like, competitions. They have, like interactive things, whether it be shops or whether it be, like, a, oh, these are pies that you can buy. Okay. Like,
carnivals, so there's a shopping component?
Yeah.
So a carnival is what happened in Something Wicked This Way Comes. A fair is what's in Breaking All the Rules.
Yep.
Breaking All the Rules is a fun park, Mark. That is an amusement park. That's an amusement park.
Shit, you're right.
I think, though, the point is they did go to a carnival slash fair. Because
fairs have a there's a competition component element.
A fair has brick and mortar that's behind it that stays all year long, right?
Yeah. Because fairs are going to have, like, oh, there's a pie. Who won the blue ribbon pie? And who, like, showed this animal? And who had the best butter? Okay. Carnivals don't have that.
Right.
Oh, man.
Right.
They can't.
Dude, hey, next time you're having a fair, hand in the air for the butter judging.
Butter.
Call me up. Call me up. Learning I know
this.
My butter.
Learning they this. Don't have that butter. In a fair, Ryan. They have that. I'm sorry. What? They have that.
No, they
fair.
Do have it at the fair. They do have the fair. They would not have it at the carnival.
Minnesota Why State Ryan? Fair has the butter carving where they carve.
Right. But no butter tasting. Yeah. Why did Ryan die so early? Well, he loved to judge butter contests.
Also, he was married to Erica.
Ryan, you don't judge a butter contest by eating butter.
Don't you? Oh, don't you?
No.
Well, he stuffed carving. That entire Eiffel Tower butter sculpture into his mouth. He ate the whole fucking thing. So you tell him.
Too creamy. I don't like my butter too creamy, he said. Well, he's a judge. I trust him.
What are you going to do? No one else can weigh in. It was already eaten. Fully eaten.
Usually that's a highlight to butter, but he's the judge.
Ryan and his refined butter palate.
He wanted his butter dry and flaky and impossible to spread on toast. That's how he likes it.
Very difficult. All right. Speaking of the carnival, candy or puppet? What do you
think? Candy.
I'm probably taking puppet.
I'm taking puppet too.
Candy all day long.
Empty calories. I can't handle that. When you're really that hungry and you haven't eaten in a long time, those empty calories aren't going to do it for you.
Well, they're not going to last
again
long.
In 15 minutes.
I would have wanted a little takeaway, like, oh, little puppets, my little party puppet.
That's a memory. That's a memory.
I mean, you're going to get like a giant box of Mike and Ike's, and I love Mike and Ike's.
Do you?
Ugh. Yes.
Then, weird. If you haven't eaten in so long and you have candy, then you're going to have like candy shits.
More Mike and Ike's.
Mark's just... red, yellow, and green shit. Because all he's had is a giant 2-pound box of Mike and Ike's. Ooh, that lemony lime shit coming right out.
Break me off a piece of that candy shit.
Were you about to do a Kit Kat bar there?
Not how Mike and Ike's work.
Nope. So bathrooms back in the 1930s not only have a scale, but also hot towels?
Yes.
Already?
Yes.
Yes.
Man.
1930s bathrooms are way better.
Like, the scale I'm not worried about, but those hot towels? Mm-hmm. There's just hot towels there?
I know.
Oh, man.
That's nice.
That's nice.
All the advances that we've had, we've taken some downgrades from the 1930s.
Exactly. We've decided some things weren't right that were actually right. So the bully never came back. Did he give up?
Guess so. Maybe he saw the error of his ways. Yeah.
I guess so. I guess he learned a lesson.
Yeah. It was just like in A Christmas Story. They don't come back. That's it. That's the end of their plot line.
He just learned it. Learned his lesson. When you're at a boxing match, do they let anyone get near the corner of the ring? Because Mike's girlfriend got up there and was just like, hey, I got some important information to tell you. I'm like, where's security here?
Do you consider WWE a boxing match?
I don't think even the WWE would consider it a boxing match. I think they would go ahead and call it wrestling.
Okay. Okay, just, I didn't know where you're...
And yes, in that context, Mark, I get it. Line. Yes, people do often approach the ring. I still don't think people from the crowd are allowed. I think you still need to be a wrestler.
You just can't come in. You can't come in with your own collapsible chair and get up there.
Like, oh, we're all in on this, fine. Right? This is... We're all here. I paid for a ticket. We're all in on this. Mm-hmm. It's the same guy who goes and says, I got to heckle the comedian. I'm here at a comedy club. When Mike's arrested, what happens to his mom?
She's just fine. Right? She's like, it was a gag. I was sick of that fucker. She just comes back. She's to myself. Fine. She's like,
I agree, because in the end, she was rooting for Bags. I think she was just trying to find a way out.
Yeah.
Now Mike's mom got her groove back. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's how she got her groove back. He gets arrested. She's like, I'm free. Let's go. She starts her own song.
That was also the original name of how Stella got her groove back, but it just didn't sell as well.
Yeah, it didn't
how
sell.
How Mike's
well.
Mom got her groove
right,
back.
Right, we're tying it back into this 1979 movie, The Prize Fighter. They're like, oh, yeah. Well, that's interesting.
The Prize Fighters.
But it's been a while. Maybe we should make it more contemporary. Speaking of Mike, why'd they arrest him at the end exactly? I realized that there was this, again, another element of this movie. There's like the specter of cops always watching them, but
tax evasion?
I don't know. No, because his girlfriend told the cops that he killed her dad.
Dad, there it is. Okay. That's right. Oh, right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I watch this several times, and I admit,
like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm
new
so
things
sorry.
Like would come in and the same things I just couldn't that just wouldn't last.
Right.
I don't know.
Totally forgot.
I mean, I won't remember this movie tomorrow, so don't ask me this tomorrow.
I'll only have to remember it for this recording, and then I can promptly forget about it. All right, Aaron.
I had a final question.
Yes.
So we talked a lot about Don Knotts and our respect for his
in this movie
pullback on the comedy.
Yeah.
Has Don Knotts been in a serious role? Was there a movie that he was in or a television show that he was in where he played a serious role?
I think some people might argue that his performance
in the Ropers,
Pinocchio and the Emperor of the Night was still very serious and very committed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he did play.
Yeah, I don't think Don Knotts ever got his uncut gems.
Uncut gems?
Uncut gems. I don't know. I have not watched his entire filmography, but he seemed, once he came in with the Andy Griffith Show, it seems like that's what he did was comedies.
Well, I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Which of these three people would you like to sign a one-year lease to a studio apartment?
Oh, no.
The first,
oh, God.
The first of your three roommate options is Mama. Let me tell you on this. You cannot, sir. She has plenty of money, so she's never going to be short on the rent.
Nope.
In fact, she might even pick up the cable bill because she's sitting on cash. And so never going to have to be like, wait, your rent's due and I got to pay. Are you going to pay me? She's always ahead of the game.
She talks through all of your viewing experiences. There's no, you don't care. You're like, you should pay for the cable bill.
You know, she's going to be in for a good laugh. She's going to scare the shit out of your friends by hiding in a grandfather clock.
Not funny, though.
And so it may not be funny, but, you know, it's going to keep your friends on their toes. And they're going to leave your house with a story to tell every time, which could raise or lower the popularity in your friend group, depending on where you stand. But she does need professional help and shouldn't be living with you. So that's the downside.
Extreme professional help, for sure.
The second option is Timmy. You know, if you bring him a melted candy bar, he's going to be happy as shit. And take it gladly. I mean, this is a kid that is grateful for anything that you give him. He's seen some really sad shit in his life, but he keeps a positive attitude. He's always...
The flip side of the mom can always pay the rent coin, though, is that Timmy has no money.
He doesn't have money,
yeah.
And your friends are all going to question why you're living with a prepubescent teen.
Mm-hmm. He's got a couple pubes, I hear.
But they're all going to wonder why he's living in your house. Your third option is Pops. You know, he's
this is a slam dunk.
He's gonna do a pretty good imitation. He's gonna do a constant, somewhat decent imitation of the coach in Rocky. He's got a good heart. His heart is in the right place. But you are gonna
in his chest.
I'm just saying he means well. He cares about people. But he is, you are going to perpetually run out of woolite because, you know, he's got to gently wash all those wool cardigans and woolite's the only way to do it. So you're going to always be running to the store for more woolite. Cardigan. So.
That's right. Woolite has really cornered the market. I can't think of another more delicate, functional.
In a pinch.
Episode brought to you by woolite?
I think it is. This episode is brought to you by woolite. Are you a gym owner who's always a little bit chilly and needs a little extra soft warm care? Then care for your soft warm care sweaters with woolite. The number one name that you can trust and remember is woolite.
The only one.
This episode is brought to you by Savatel. Do you want all the benefits of woolite but can't spend the extra money? Then buy Savatel. It'll keep your cardigans looking sharp and soft without any shrinkage. Just like woolite, but at a fraction of the price. Savatel.
Oh.
Man, somebody's been washing his cardigans.
On the cheap.
Okay, but which roommate are you taking?
Oh, Pops.
100% Pops.
100% Pops. 1000% mm-hmm. Pops. Mm-hmm. Also,
I can borrow his cardigans. I'm already an old man.
Yeah.
He runs a gym. Might go work out. Sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pops, 100%.
He's got stories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's got wisdom to share.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a kid or a crazy old woman.
Right. So 100% him.
Okay.
He probably smells like an old shoe, but I'm into it. I don't care.
He is going to bring that gym stink home every day.
Stink.
It's going to be some stink.
For sure.
Yeah.
Let's jump into some quick research. Here's our research for The Prize Fighter. This is filmed in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh.
January to March 1979 on a $2 million budget.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Mark said that, as he said, Tim Conway wrote the script in 3 days, though he says there's plenty of improv in the movie, as I'm sure there is. They did a lot of improv during the takes. In September 14th, 1979, Daily Variety reported that the film had completed post-production and that New World Pictures had acquired the film's domestic distribution rights. They actually planned to release this just before Thanksgiving holiday on November 16th. However, that plan was kind of canceled, and in October, Hollywood Reporter announced that the film would open between Thanksgiving and Christmas in Charlotte, North Carolina, Portland, Oregon, Minneapolis, Atlanta, Dallas, St. Louis, and Kansas City. That changed again. In the 23rd of November, 1979, Daily Variety reported the movie had earned $822,000 in its opening weekend, playing on 234 screens in southern U.S. states and Texas. They plan to expand the film to 500 more screens in the Midwest, U.S., in time for Christmas. However, in December 1979, they reported New World had placed a trade advertisement stating the film earned $1,088,000 in its opening weekend and 234 screens in Central Illinois, New Orleans, Dallas, Atlanta, and Charlotte. That article reported the film would open on 575 more screens in the South, Midwest, and Western U.S., except for California, which it would not open until, I think, around Easter of 1980 is when it finally opens up in Los
Angeles. Quite a delay.
New World was pleased with the film's success, attributing it to part to the fact that Walt Disney Pictures, known for having family-friendly releases, did not have a movie scheduled for release during the 1979 Christmas season. In fact, what they had planned was The Black Hole. That's what they released in this time. So
we saw it at that time.
We did. So in 1976, for instance, around December 17th, Walt Disney released Shaggy D.A. and Freaky Friday. Those were their holiday movies. 1977, they put out Pete's Dragon in November, and they put out Candle Shoe with a young Jodie Foster. That's on December 16th. These are their family fairs. So they sort of cornered the market on it. But December 21st, 1979, Disney releases The Black Hole. Like I said, they had released Apple Dumpling Gang Rides Again in June of 1979. So this was the next Don Knotts, Tim Conway movie that they, Disney, had already sort of set up for success. And now New World was going to capitalize on it. And it's an interesting thing, I thought, about, you know, the fact that they were expanding the way they were. And by the way, all that information I was getting was from the AFI catalog. They're expanding the way they were because, if, like we were talking about this movie, it's an hour, 48 minutes. Now, I don't have this on authority, but as we know from doing a podcast about New World Pictures, we know that this is the Roger Corman era of 1979. This is when Roger owns the company. He would have taken this movie and trimmed it up. Like I said,
for sure.
In September, Variety said that New World had acquired the film's domestic distribution rights, but they had completed post-production. Not New World, but the movie itself had completed post-production. So they edited the movie. New World just distributed this. They didn't make it. Okay. In fact, this movie is actually made by TriStar Pictures. Lang Elliott is a producer who produces this movie, starts TriStar Pictures with this and Private Eyes before, and we'll probably get to more of this because I didn't find more verification of this. Lang Elliott eventually sells TriStar Pictures to the people that buy it and actually start TriStar Pictures in 1982, which I think is Columbia, HBO, and CBS. Those are the three that actually owned TriStar Pictures until CBS backed out and HBO eventually backs out, etc. But that's, so this is the start of TriStar Pictures is what I'm trying to say. But this movie is an hour, 48 minutes. If this Corman had anything to do with this, he would have trimmed the crap out of it. So as the movie is gaining success through the country, you would have thought, well, why don't they just open it wide everywhere? Well, as we know, Corman wanted to cut these movies shorter because he wanted to eliminate having a reel that you have to ship around the country with these prints. So when the movie's already an hour and 38 minutes, which is longer than the 84-minute, 85-minute movies that he usually endorsed, he would have to kind of move it territory by territory because he's also shipping an extra can. But it's doing well and getting good ratings, so, or getting good reviews. So, you know, that's why he did it that way, methodically moving it throughout the country. And it makes a big, it's a big success, as I said, because Disney didn't, but also because, and I'm reading here from Mind Warp, the fantastic true story of Roger Corman's New World Pictures. They said its release was also a stroke of good fortune, as some major studio flops like Avalanche Express, Meteor, and Skate Town USA left a hole in exhibitors' booking patterns that needed to be filled. So basically, they're a bunch of flops. They came in and filled it. Another quote from the book here. This is from Frank Moretto, who is one of the distribution guys for New World Pictures. I think he's a distribution guy. Yes, he was the guy who did a lot of the, brought in a lot of the foreign acquisitions. He's an acquisitions guy. Had we not broken the picture the week of Thanksgiving and proven it could do well, we'd have nothing for Christmas. Exhibitors double booked us with something else. And when they saw the prizefighter would do okay, they decided to go with us rather than risking it with something else. So they basically benefited off of two things from Disney. Number one, establishing Tim Conway and Don Knotts as a comedic duo that people wanted to see in movies. Two, they didn't put together a family movie, and this movie's rated PG.
Mm-hmm.
And then this, the fact that there was a bunch of other movies that didn't do well is why this is a big success for New World. Prizefighter is a big success. And at the time that they are releasing this movie, Don Knotts and Tim Conway are already shooting the next movie that we will discuss when they did Private Eyes, which is another movie that New World releases, and we will get to that at some other time. But for now, that's it.
Wow.
That's the prize fighter.
Wow.
It's March Madness, y'all. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, you can check out all our other episodes and continue to follow the March Madness at our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. You can find all our episodes, our articles, and our t-shirts. Buy a t-shirt. We don't have a Patreon, but we do have t-shirts for sale. There's lots of different designs. We're getting new designs in this year as well. Go and buy a t-shirt. You would do us a big solid, help keep this train running. And if you can't do that, we understand. But what you could do is tell a friend to listen to the podcast, go to the website, and we'll see you next time at the New World Pictures Podcast. Bye, everybody.